Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood.
On Tuesdays, get your pop culture news and reviews with a pure Bostonian perspective on the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then on Thursdays, you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, presenting the Live Issues program.
It's going down each week. Only in the land of Ash, nerdcore at its finest.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, On Mystery Inc., and Psychological Productions proudly present No Borders, No Race, The World's J-Pop and Alternative Hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race, King Baby Duck here. So last week I was talking about my happiness of there being no more MLB 2K games, as I thought 2K Sports' treatment of the license wasn't all too great. I also mentioned how I would have liked to have seen EA Sports swipe back the license, as I thought they could recapture the magic that MVP Baseball 2005 had, even though it might be filled with microtransactions and such. Well, merely hours after I had posted that episode, the Major League Baseball organization posted online that they would be bringing back a baseball gaming series I had almost forgotten completely, RBI Baseball. Now, to be honest, I never played the RBI series. In fact, when I had my Sega Genesis, I owned only two baseball titles, Sports Talk Baseball and Hardball 3. However, I remember how well-received the RBI series was, so it's getting me pretty excited about this. And also, the NES version was the best-selling baseball title on the system, so I know it has the most loyal following. What's interesting to note is that the Major League Baseball company's interactive wing, MLBAM, will be creating the game and releasing it on all the consoles, plus mobile devices. So my question now is, who did they gather to create this game? Are they people who in the past have worked on baseball titles? Until we start seeing some more info and pictures from RBA Baseball 14, we can only speculate. For now, though, let's just be joyful that 2K isn't in the baseball biz anymore and get the music going. Remember, if you like what you hear, please be sure to support these artists by buying their music. And you can find just about all these releases on Amazon.com, CDJapan.co.jp, Bandcamp, iTunes, the official websites, and your local record store. We're going to start things off with some of the Michelle Gunn Elephant from my favorite album of theirs, Gear Blues. This is Soul. We'll be right back.
isn't it? I don't give a flying fuck about shit.
Motto with Birthday Cake from their Viva La Woman album. I was so excited to hear that they got back together a couple years ago, and I'm even more stoked about their new album, Hotel Valentine, as well as their U.S. tour. Hopefully, I'll be going to their Boston stop, so I just gotta cross my fingers that all works out in the end. Well, last year, myself and just about everyone in the gaming community took a big, giant shit on Gearbox's Aliens Colonial Marines, a title that promised to keep true to the Aliens franchise, but instead beat it to a bloody pulp buried at 6 feet under. I blamed Sega, Gearbox, that other company that helped make it that no one remembers and got shut down and no one gives a fuck about anymore, and even the gamers themselves for how bad this debacle went. Now, Sega is hoping to make it up to the fanbase with Alien Isolation, which is being developed by Creative Assembly, the same guys responsible for the Total War series. So, how does it look so far? Well, honestly, it appears to be staying true to the franchise. I mean, the look of the world is as it appeared to be in the original Alien movie, and even the gadgets are being used to look exactly the same. It's not all revamped to look like the future we now think it's going to be, but rather the future that people thought it was going to be like in 1979. I like how they made the protagonist Ripley's daughter Amanda, and what this game appears to be bringing to the table is what I've been clamoring for. You're given no weapons, and you're being chased by one massive xenomorph. It's Amnesia the Dark Descent, only with the Aliens franchise. I mean, I'm not going to lie, I chatted with friends about a setup like this, and they all thought it was a dumb idea, but here it is now, and everyone is once again eating it up. However, this has happened before, specifically with Colonial Marines. We see a video clip of in-game footage, which, by the way, looks very impressive. But then given the old switcheroo when the actual game comes out. Not to mention, it's a movie-based video game, and we should all know by now that most movie-based games turn out to be massive turd sandwiches. Why do you think I'm not holding my breath for that Mad Max game? Because I know if I get my hopes up too much, I could be disappointed very much so in the end. That's why I cannot judge this yet. Until I see this in a more hands-on setting, maybe somewhere like, let's say PAX East or E3, then I cannot be 100% excited about this project. Maybe, I want to say 72.5%. Maybe that's a fair number to say. Because, you see, I've been fooled one too many times, especially with Colonial Marines being the straw that broke the camel's back, or should I say, broke the xenomorph's back. So I must lower my excitement until there comes a time where I can actually touch the game to give my full-on thoughts. Well, full-on thoughts on a preview of a game, that is. I can't give my complete opinion until I play a full version of it, after all. I mean, that's what a person who has to review a game has to do. You can't just review a game with just a tiny little preview. You've got to play the whole thing before you slap a review of it. But let me ask you listeners something. Are you excited about Alien Isolation? What are your thoughts on it? Let us know at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com, and I'll read off the best responses on next week's show. Next up, we got Blood Red Shoes, who are currently getting their next album ready for a March release. So right now, we are going to play a track from their last release, In Time to Voices. Here's Cold.
Yeah! 白の屋根から見上げた輝く満月綺麗。そんな時ポロロン、あ、涙が出ちゃう。
4 from their Honey Creeper album. They've been releasing a couple singles here and there in the past couple of years, so odds are a new record should be on the horizon. And joining me right now are my buddies Andrew and Jonathan from Wicked Anime.
Hey!
So I brought them on here because we have a couple segments, and I figured the first thing we would talk about is the Oscars. I know you guys haven't seen a lot of movies, but I know you've seen quite a few of these.
We've seen a lot of movies. We haven't seen a lot of movies this year. At least the ones that are in the Oscars.
Yeah, right. We're not ones for Oscar bait, really. But I do like to weigh in on my thoughts about.
Well, yeah. Sometimes I like to do like the Oscar films, specifically like the art house films. Like sometimes art house films will be passed off by the Oscars, but they do deserve them. Like a couple years ago, like one of my all time favorite films is the movie Drive.
Yeah.
Was totally snubbed by the Oscars, except for like one best sound mixing sort of nomination.
Which is true. That was a really great part of Drive, but like Drive as a whole was just an amazing movie.
Yeah.
So, as we all know, politics.
Politics, politics, politics. That's why Richard Gere wasn't nominated for Best Actor in Chicago. That's why Paul Giamatti was snubbed for American Splendor.
Mm.
Just so many great movies have just been just given the shaft. And
yeah, pretty much.
Which thankfully that's why there's like a shit ton of other Oscar or tons of other
shows,
awards, ceremonies and such. People make up award shows just to give movies that deserve
it. And so rich people can have parties. It's like, this is what we do. I haven't seen you since the Grammys.
So we're gonna do a couple of two part segment with the Oscars and then figure out who do you think deserves which and what, and maybe even go into who got snubbed.
Oh, absolutely.
Who got snubbed.
That's going to be an easy one.
So, we're going to go down the list. We're going to start with writing, and we're going to have Best Original Screenplay. We've got American Hustle, Blue Jasmine, Dallas Buyers Club, Her, and Nebraska.
Haven't seen any of those.
I haven't really seen any of those either, but I have to say that I'm really intrigued by Her.
Me too, because I love Spike Jonze, and I feel like the way he does his stories are like the weirdest stories you can think of, but the way he tells them are in such a way that people can relate to in such an easy way.
Well, that's what I want to know about Her, is the fact that, it's a movie about a guy who's falling in love with artificial intelligence, which, I mean, in this day and age, that's really not that unusual. I mean, it's unusual, but you can see it happening, and it should make us kind of afraid.
Yeah.
So I want to see where that goes. But otherwise, no, I haven't seen any of the other movies. I know you've seen American Hustle, right?
I haven't seen American Hustle.
Oh, you haven't? You saw Wolf of Wall Street.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Which is actually on my next list right here, Best Adapted Screenplay, which is Wolf of Wall Street, 12 Years a Slave, Philomena, Captain Phillips, and Before Midnight. And I do have to go with Wolf of Wall Street or this one because it's really hard to do a 3-hour comedy and make it so fluid and make it funny throughout the whole thing. And while The Wolf of Wall Street is a true story, how it's presented, it just keeps you laughing for such a long time.
Really? Okay.
Even though there are some dark parts to it.
Yeah, I'm sure there are. It's Martin Scorsese.
Yeah, but for the most part, I found myself laughing at what was happening.
Yeah.
And it's rare for a comedy to actually be nominated for an Oscar. And for them to do this sort of comedy that is showcased in here. It's like, the way I described it when I saw it, it's got this sexuality of Caligula, the drug use of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, and then the greed of Wall Street. So put that all together and you got Wolf of Wall Street.
That's interesting. But I for some reason have a feeling that 12 Years a Slave is going to win everything.
Yeah.
Because of Make the White People Feel Bad movie.
You see, that was my problem with Precious, based on the novel pushed by Sapphire.
Well, and the movie The Butler.
Yeah.
Because when that came out, the actual guy who was the butler, like, was interviewed in an article, and they said they Hollywooded it up, because he was actually, like, best friends with all those, like, in the movie, they were like, oh, there was so much racial tension and so much prejudice, when there was, in reality, none of that at all.
Yeah.
And he said that himself. He was like, that movie is completely fiction.
Okay. And I kind of was expecting that to happen, but with a movie like Precious, if it was the same movie, but it was based off of someone that wasn't African-American, it wouldn't have gotten the attention that it would have gotten.
Unfortunately. I mean, it's good that, like, I mean, it's still good that you get that kind of attention, but
yes.
I feel like it's getting attention for the wrong reasons.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The wrong reasons. Okay, so here's something more down your line. Visual effects.
Yes.
We got Gravity, The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smog, Iron Man 3, The Lone Ranger, and Star Trek Into Darkness.
See, now, those are all really good movies, but I feel like the visual effects was pretty... I mean, I haven't seen all of them. I've seen Star Trek, and I know of Smog, and I know, you know, of Iron Man. So it's all really, really... It looks really nice, you know?
Yeah.
But it's really hard to choose which one would be the best, I guess. I mean, Star Trek was really nice.
Yeah, like, but I feel like, for me... When I heard a lot about Gravity, and I was a little bit hesitant to see it, but when I finally sat down and watched it, you just become engulfed by what you're watching.
Like, see, now, I feel like Gravity is less about the visual effects, though, and more about the... that feeling of, like, oh my god,
nothingness.
This is awful, like...
Maybe Gravity's not the best one to call for visual effects, but I do have to say... My favorite out of all five of them, I had to say The Hobbit. I mean, the way that they brought Smog out of this.
I still need to see the first one.
So okay.
I
looked into the special effects that they have done in Smog and how they, you know, got the facial recognition.
Oh, from Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yes.
That was amazing.
Yeah, and how he got, like, super into his character and you know, they, like, I haven't seen the movie, but I've seen the behind the scenes of how they've done the special effects and everything like that, and it's wonderful.
It's like, Benedict, you gotta get all your emotion out of you so you can do Sherlock Season 3.
You've gotta be a dragon.
Yeah, be a dragon, Benedict Cumberbatch. Oh, snap, he was in Star Trek, too,
yes.
So he's in two of those movies.
So let's just say whichever one has Benedict Cumberbatch
yeah.
He wants to win. Alright, do we care about sound editing and sound mixing?
Which ones are nominated, at least?
All right, so sound mixing, Captain Phillips, Gravity, Smog, Inside, Llewyn Davis, and Lone Survivor. I do want to actually say sound mixing for Gravity because they got space right. Because there's no sound at all in space.
Yeah. You did mention a Lone Survivor, though, and I really want to see that movie.
I do, too. But I'm worried it's another one of those After Dower movies.
But the thing is the guy who... that actually happened to was on set the whole time.
Okay.
Because he said, you cannot tell this story unless you tell it how I tell it. Or how.
That's a good point.
So no, it is not an act of valor like movie.
You don't want to piss off a Navy SEAL.
Yeah.
So then for sound editing, we have all the same ones except Llewyn Davis has been replaced with All Is Lost, which is supposedly a great movie with Robert Redford. It's him on the scene, just him by himself.
Huh.
Oh yeah, I remember that one. Yeah.
Let's see. Short films.
I don't think I've seen any of the short films so far.
Production design. Alright. We had American Hustle, Gravity, Great Gatsby, Her, and 12 Years a Slave.
Oh wow, Great Gatsby is on that list?
I think it might be going to Great Gatsby because, say what you want about Baz, when he creates a film, he
he knows how to add style to it, even though it's sometimes loud and can overshadow the movie itself.
It's so loud.
Let's see, music.
Music, original song. This one is, it's gotta be Let It Go from Frozen.
It is a great song.
It's okay. Like, I mean, it's definitely a song. Like, it's a great song. It was really good. Now, don't get me wrong, but like, as far as original soundtracks go, you know, I mean, Frozen, it was written by Broadway people, so
right.
Of course it's gonna be good.
Because then, besides that, we have U2. Do you want to see U2 win an Oscar?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course I do.
We have Karen O did the Moon Song for Spike Jonze's Her. We have the song Happy from Despicable Me 2.
Oh, nice.
I'm really surprised.
I love Despicable Me 2.
Okay. So why don't we cut off there? We'll jump right back into this. Let's see. What we got next for songs? Oh, we got the band Ichini Zero Ichini. That's 12012 for all the people who can't understand Japanese.
I can't understand Japanese.
They released too many albums this past year, but this is a song from their 2007 record, Diamond. This song is called Cyclone.
Yeah.
album, Lex Hives, and we're going right back to the Oscars. But before we go into more of the nominations, Andrew, you have a bone to pick with the Oscars.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, after the kind of way they disrespected the visual effects industry last year, it's just, it's not deserving of my time. Though I still watch it every year, but I watch it with, like, a grimace on my face. Like, it's like, brr. Like,
yeah. My favorite movie.
For anybody who doesn't know what we're talking about, it's the whole Ang Lee debacle and how he didn't pay
his visual effects
studios for doing Life of Pi.
And he didn't talk to them, or he didn't mention them.
Yeah.
He didn't do that, and the visual effects artist protested outside.
And then there was the whole...
It was like, oh, it's a real tiger the whole time.
Yeah. And then there was the whole thing with Samuel L. Jackson snubbing Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, Robert Downey Jr. was trying to be nice and talking about the visual effects artist, and Samuel L. Jackson was like, no. Like, ignore that. Like, pretend it's not happening like the rest of us, rich people in this room.
Yeah. Ooh. So there's kind of a bit of bitterness there. Maybe not a whole heck of a lot with the Oscars. Oh, the Oscars did shut the mics off when the studio won for Life of Pi in editing or something like.
Oh yeah, that too.
Yeah, they cut the mic when you start talking about it. So yeah, I am pissed off at the Oscars.
Yeah, hey guys.
Yeah.
What are we talking about in the first place? Oh yeah, because we need to.
Well, because the Oscars is very political. It's very political.
Yes.
So it's very unhealthy for the industry.
Anyway. And we're just feeding it in.
Yeah. Anyways, let's get back to what we're...
All right. I want to just say, because best makeup and hairstyling, the fact that Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa is nominated,
yeah.
I want to see it win.
Oh, I want to see it win, too, because I want to see Johnny Knoxville up on that stage, because I don't care what you think about Johnny Knoxville. I love Johnny Knoxville.
Me, too.
He's so funny.
He's one of those guys that I know it's going to sound crazy, probably not going to happen. He deserves, like, one of the honorary Oscars when he's, like, 70 or 80 years old.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, man. It makes it that long. I mean, I don't think he can be killed. If he hasn't been killed at this point, I don't think he can be.
No.
He's more machine than man now, anyway.
That is true. Imagine all the bones that he's replaced.
Yeah, all the metal that's...
I heard that he can't pee without a catheter now.
No, he can't. That is true.
Oh my gosh. What?
Give that man an Oscar.
Well, okay, let's move on to something else before we reach links that we shouldn't. Foreign language film. This is something I was very surprised about.
Yeah, I know you were about against Blue is the Warmest Color not being nominated and everything.
Not that I was against it. It's just the fact that I don't think that they're going to nominate an NC-17 movie at the Oscars. Like, not...
Well, here's the thing, though. Because years ago, the movie Midnight Cowboy, which was an X-rated film, won Best Picture.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Oh, no, you're right. Yeah, I did know that.
That's really weird.
Yeah, but I just don't know. I mean, because it wasn't a movie that was... Well, I mean, some movies aren't played in theaters everywhere anymore either, but...
Foreign films in America aren't played everywhere. Yeah. You have to go to your art houses to go and see these great movies.
Yeah.
That's what happened when I went and tried and saw Persepolis years ago, which was one of the best animated films I've ever seen, but because it was still a foreign film, you had to go to one of the shadiest theaters in Boston to go and watch it.
Yeah. Yep, Bostonians, go support the Brattle Theater. It's freaking awesome.
Yes, it is.
I love the Brattle Theater.
Me too. If I were to premiere a movie, that's where I would go.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So back to...
Oh yeah, so foreign film. I'm just really surprised that... I mean, like, I know that there's a real difference between animated film and foreign film, but I mean, like, there were a lot of Japanese films that totally deserved it.
Letters from Momo.
Yeah, Letters from Momo, and... Wolf Children.
Yes.
We'll never get over that.
We will never get over
I'll never get over the Golden Globe either of Summer Wars. Like, are you serious? It's not even nominated anymore? Like, you took away its nomination? Like, what the heck?
I just think that, you know, because I know that The Wind Rises is also in...
Animated
film, which is great, but, I mean, in the Golden Globes this year, it was in foreign film, but not animated film, so it's like, what?
Which really is...
The Hollywood Foreign Press was like, this animated film was better than most other foreign films.
Yeah.
We'll give it the nomination.
Maybe it thought that it would have a better chance of winning if it wasn't going up against Frozen.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. They might have been nice.
Speaking of which, did we want to skip right to animated feature?
I think we should.
Yeah, we should skip into it. Director, let's just give it a Scorsese.
Yeah.
Probably.
Or Steve McQueen. Only if it's the Steve McQueen that's ghost directing.
Yeah, we should give it to Great Escape Steve McQueen.
Like. So animated feature films is something that I'm super adamant about. It's actually the category that I've seen the most films on.
Yeah, well, I mean, super adamant about it. It's like our industry.
Frozen is probably going to win.
Yep, I will.
And I'm not against it winning because I loved Frozen. I think it was one of the better Disney films to be released. Musical.
Yeah,
film.
And I'm not necessarily against it winning either because it was very good. I just don't think it was the best Disney film. And again, it was great. It was a great movie.
My personal taste and interest, I would like to see Despicable Me 2 win just because I think that movie's funny. It's great.
Yeah,
the movie was really.
And good. And the first movie got snubbed by the Oscars when it came out. It didn't even get nominated, and I thought it was the best out of all the films nominated.
It was. I really like Despicable Me as a whole. Like, number one is really good. Number two is it's just fun to watch. But they don't really go for fun to watch.
Yeah.
So.
And then let's not forget The Wind Rises.
Yes, The Wind Rises.
Give it to Miyazaki. It may or may not be his last film.
Yeah, it may or may not be his last film. Let him go on stage and let him talk for a little bit.
Oh, that would be actually really cool. Like,
I didn't even think about that.
Because they're going to be like, what's Colonel Sanders doing here?
What's Japanese Colonel Sanders doing up on stage?
So, should we move on to actors and actresses?
Yeah, let's not talk about the supporting.
Well, I can't really in the first place because I have to see the films in order to know them. And I mean, like, even for the leading actors and actresses, I can only judge them based on my personal opinion of them because I haven't seen the movies that they've been nominated for, which might not be fair.
Right. But let me just say that the fact that what Sandra Bullock had to go through in Gravity...
That's what everybody's been saying, because I haven't seen Gravity yet. I really want to.
It's a great movie.
Yeah. Our buddy Dylan from the Wicked Anime podcast, he's seen Gravity, and he was just like, you guys have to see this movie. So, but we haven't yet.
It finally made me forgive Sandra Bullock for all the other crappy films she's done.
She was really good in The Blind Side.
I love The Blind Side. But that
and
was
the Heat. And The Heat.
But the problem is, the same year Blind Side came out was that movie, that Steve, All About Steve one, that was like one of the worst movies ever made.
Bummer.
So, let's see, best actor. I just give it to Leo DiCaprio. Give him his fucking Oscar.
Well, especially
after what he did in Wolf of Wall Street.
I don't know, because Matthew McConaughey needs something to gain his weight back from his movie. Because, you know, he did the Christian Bale machinist diet to get all thin and stuff.
But I think that
that was Jared Leto who did that for Dallas Buyers Club.
I thought that was Matthew McConaughey.
No, Jared Leto's the one who plays the transgendered character with AIDS. That's why I think he should get it for Dallas Buyers Club. Matthew McConaughey was the one who starts up the club, and Jared Leto's the one who helps him out with it.
I actually think it might probably go to Chiwetel Ejiofor for 12 Years a Slave. I mean, I think it's going to win everything. I honestly do because it was like the most successful Oscar bait movie this year. It really was.
Yeah.
You know?
And when we say Oscar bait movies, saying an Oscar bait movie doesn't necessarily mean it was a bad movie.
Like, it's made for the sake of winning awards.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, whereas other movies are made for the sake of actually entertaining.
Yes.
Which is why we didn't see Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
Pacific Rim's list this
Wait,
year.
Wait, why the hell wasn't that not nominated for anything?
Like, especially visual effects.
What the hell?
See?
Damn you, Oscars.
I think that he's going to win. Like I said, based on personal opinion, I don't want Christian Bale to win anything. Sorry, y'all, Christian Bale fans. I'm not
not really sure.
Okay, so final award, best picture.
Yeah.
Captain Phillips because Tom Hanks.
I'm sorry, but every time I was hearing his voice in that film, I was just waiting for him to go, We are being armed by pirates here in the Polar Express!
I just think Tom Hanks just goes down as one of the best actors of all time.
Go from Bosom Buddies to this.
But the Money Pit was such a funny movie!
It was! That's the thing, too. I would love for him to go and do just a really stupid comedy.
Yeah, right? Again. Yeah, exactly.
Like the Money Pit. Yeah. And the only time he's able to do that is when he's, like, guesting on Saturday Night Live.
Which he's also great at.
He's great at that, too. But he needs to do a stupid funny movie for a chance. Yeah. Stop doing the Oscar. He needs to do another Lady Killers.
Oh, my gosh. You just said my favorite, like, one of my favorite comedies of all time. That was just... That movie gets me rolling on the ground laughing. It's so funny.
Again, though, I think that 12 Years a Slave is going to win.
Okay, for Best Picture.
Because it won the Golden Globes.
Yeah, so. That's true.
Oh, it did? Okay. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I just think it's going to take everything.
All right. I'm going to go in my pick with Wolf of Wall Street because I was just amazed by what they were able to do in that film.
Unfortunately, I haven't seen any of these movies on the best movie list, so I guess I have a marathon ahead of me.
Yeah. All right. But in all sense, Wolf Children deserves Best Picture.
Yeah. That's basically what we're saying here.
From what I have, I know we're getting near the end for the segment, but I gotta say, it's one thing to act all emotional, it's another to draw emotion.
Absolutely.
That's right. It's harder to draw emotion, real emotion, and that's what Wolf Children did. And for it to not be nominated for anything.
For anything, you know, I mean. He'll make... Mamoru Hosoda will make a movie one of these days that everybody's going to recognize because he just doesn't stop making great movies.
Agreed.
So
agreed.
It's probably not going to be Wolf Children. They're just waiting for a better movie for him to make. A better movie, and...
But how does one go better?
I don't know! He just makes them because he makes the best movie every time.
All right. Let's get back to the music, and then we'll talk about the other thing on our plate.
Yeah.
So, a few years ago, one of my friends from Japan got me into a band, and I'm actually surprised I haven't played yet on this show. They're called Rinto Shite Sugure, and this is from their 2007 album, Inspiration is Dead. It's called Cool J, not related to the Ladies Love Guy. Salux with Quiet from their Plutonium EP. They just released a new mini album, Sentimental Metal Chair, back in October, so be sure to check that album out as well. So, Space Dandy!
Yeah, yeah.
We finally actually get to talk about it.
Yes, we can finally talk about it after finally seeing.
Yeah.
We're in like 3 episodes into the show.
Yeah, now that 3 episodes has come out.
We can finally give a somewhat general opinion of what's been going on in the show.
Follows the Wicked Anime rule of 3 episodes in, are you going to still watch it?
Yeah.
Yes.
And there hasn't been a solid storyline pat down yet.
No, because we don't quite know why this Dr. Gel guy is chasing Dandy. I bet you it's like something stupid, like he skipped on like a tab or something like that.
It follows the regular... There's, like, 3 different anime plot lines that always gets followed. There's the one where there's a plot line from the beginning. There's one where there's no plot line, like a slice of life, like an Azumanga Daioh kind of anime.
Yes.
And then there is, like, a half-season introductory anime plot line where it's episode of the week plot line. And then halfway through, all of a sudden, this anime has a story.
Yeah.
Which, unfortunately, is my least favorite plotline type that they've done, because they did it with Hellgirl, and they did it with...
Cowboy Bebop kind of did that, too.
Cowboy Bebop kind of did it, but they waited until, like, the last 3 episodes to be like, all right, here's the story. And which is okay, because it was kind of like a finale special.
Yes.
So that was okay with me. That was a little different.
Well, seeing that you even say it like that, this is a Shinichiro Watanabe anime, so I think we're in good hands, you know?
We're in good hands. It's not, well, he's the general director. I don't know, what's the difference between general director and regular director?
Well, there's the, it really depends, because I think there's a loose term, it's kind of a loose term for that, where he might general director kind of means you have dominion over everything. That's just the normal use of the word general.
Yeah.
No, but I don't know what if that, maybe that just means like, okay, this is his production, but somebody else is directing it, you know? So but either way, I think we should start off with, you know, what we all think of Space Dandy.
I think it's amazing.
It's a really great show. I mean, it did start off a little bit slow, but it wasn't until, like, Meow came in to the...
I remember you saying that, which I disagreed with. I thought I was having a great time from, like, the beginning of episode one to, you know, all the way to the end, which is totally cool, because, like, I can see where people would find it slow. I just didn't, I guess. So I'm really enjoying the show, too. I will say it is pretty much exactly what I expected from it.
Yeah.
I know some people were, like, expecting something, oh, this is gonna be great, this is gonna be the best anime ever.
That's what I was, I'm not gonna lie, I was one of those people. Because you hear Shinichiro Watanabe going back to outer space, and you're like, oh my god, this is him this is him going back to the old Bebop things. No, this is totally different.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I knew it wasn't gonna be like Bebop, but I was expecting a sort of, like, storyline-wise quality of it. And so far, we haven't really seen that much story in Space Dandy.
Yeah, see, what we're getting right now is kind of what I expected from the show. It looked like an episode of the week kind of a deal.
Mm-hmm. One thing that, you know, you expect from this director is that you always get good characters. You're always interested in... who is present on the screen, you know, through the writing and everything like that.
Right.
Which is one of my favorite things about this. I just love the fact that Space Dandy is on screen.
You know?
I love everything he says. I love how he acts. I love the fact that he poses every time he shoots his gun. You know, I mean, I don't care if there's no story. I just want to see Space Dandy do things.
I am in 100% agreeance where Space Dandy is just a fantastic character. He's just so... He does nothing but make me laugh. And that is what I wanted out of Space Dandy.
Yeah, for the most part, he does make me laugh. But there are a couple times where, like, the joke will kind of be ruined. And you brought... One of you brought this up,
yeah,
too. QT.
And I think, yeah, and like I said, that's not the Space Dandy... That's not Space Dandy's character's fault. That's QT's fault.
Mm-hmm.
Where QT is... And I love QT because I love, like, the voice, the auto-tune voice thing going on. It sounds cool. And it's a really cool character for the Voice of Reason character. Because
mm-hmm.
QT is the Voice of Reason character, but I feel like whenever Space Dandy tells a joke,
QT kind of has to explain to us, and you just said the punchline of the joke, and it's like, okay, QT, thanks for, like, explaining the joke, now it's not funny anymore.
Yeah, because that's a really interesting mix, because the way that Space Dandy is written, especially in the American dub, is extremely non-linear from the rest of anime that we've seen. Like, the way that he speaks and his mannerisms are very American written. It was almost as if the script was written for it to be in English first, which it did come out first.
Yes. Shinichiro Watanabe.
Yes, and Shinichiro Watanabe. He always does that. When you watch Cowboy Bebop, this feels very American. Even Samurai Champloo had the whole hip-hop vibe to it. You feel like that this was... when I first watched Samurai Champloo, I'm like, oh my god, this is Wu-Tang Clan, the anime.
Yeah. Well, the thing, and like, whenever he makes an anime, you feel like... Actually, in fact, I think his characters are... a European descent character. I don't think they're Asian.
I kind of got that way too, even with something like Kids on the Slope, which was so out of character for Watanabe to do, but at the same time, you got that sort of American-European vibe, especially from the jazz.
Yeah, well, and his main buddy there was a Hafu. You know, he was only half Japanese.
Yeah.
Spike is definitely, like, you feel, Spike is not Japanese. Like, I mean, he might be, but he doesn't show that in any sort of way.
Right.
Space Dandy is... he might be Japanese, but you certainly don't feel that way, you know? It's the same thing.
He's very rockabilly.
Very rockabilly, yeah, he really is.
He's kind of like Brian Setzer in Space.
Yeah, it's... because, I mean, in the Pompadour thing is very, you know...
And it's very popular in Japan still, too.
Yeah, but it's very, like, you know, 50s space adventure. Kind of like the Space Marauder kind of a thing, or the,
Buck Rogers of the 21st century.
There you go.
Yeah.
He's kind of a satire of that character. One of the things that I think that they did really, that was really funny in the show, too, was, you know, he has a job. He has a specific job. You never necessarily see him completing or even doing that job. He's just doing things.
He's kind of doing what Spike Spiegel does. It's just him going from bounty to bounty to bounty. Only this time around, the bounty is more on finding unknown alien creatures that have never been found before.
Yeah, and so it's really interesting.
Though it is more apparent that Dandy does do his job because, I mean, like in episode 3, we saw him with like all these aliens that... You know, he's scanning... Or no, episode 2, he was scanning all of the aliens, and then they find the rare one, and then at the end of episode 3, he actually turns in an alien, and he gets paid, which was great, because he's a character who actually succeeds at what he does. It's not the cliche thing like you see in American cartoons, where the main character never wins, and also, like, in Cowboy Bebop, where they never get paid. Yeah. You know, that's something that...
Well, it's not they don't get paid, they just have to then pay back all the damages that they had to go through.
Yeah, well, it's just a cliche that got really old, and I was super happy to see him get paid, you know, to find an alien, you know, and he got paid a lot of money.
Well, the thing is, too, it's funny because the money in Space Dandy is Wulong.
Which is not just Cowboy Bebop, but also Outlaw Star.
Yeah. Was Wulong an Outlaw Star?
Yeah, I believe Wulong was... Or they might have done that in the English dub. They might have just...
I wonder, because I can't remember now that I think about it.
I remember the voice of Gene Starlin going, and that was like a million woos.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so that was pretty cool that he kind of, you know, suggests that it's definitely not the same universe at all, but like, because there's no aliens in Cowboy Bebop, everybody's still a human.
Yeah.
So, which is cool. I think that's a really cool thing about Cowboy Bebop is there's no alien life.
It's all just...
It's extended human life, which is cool.
Yeah.
So as far as the characters go, I think Space Dandy is my favorite. Meow is really funny, too. I think he's a good texture character as far as making Space Dandy funnier.
Yeah, he's comic relief.
Yeah.
He's like how I was saying earlier, like weeks ago, when I was comparing a little bit of it to Red Dwarf. Like, Space Dandy is... He's Lister.
Okay.
QR is, or QT is actually a mixture of both Arnold Rimmer, because he has to explain everything, and also of the character of Crichton, because he's a robot. And then Yao is Cat.
Yeah. It's, so it's definitely an interesting show, and I'm planning on continuing to watch it.
Me too.
Because I think it's really good.
It's just fun to watch.
We did have a few friends and a few people across the internet tell us that they hated it. Which I feel I don't understand why you would hate this show, because there's nothing really despicable or hateable about it.
No.
Unless like you're really against you know, the whole like boobies thing and stuff like that, which if you are, why do you watch anime? Because it's in every single anime series you've ever seen.
Just about.
Like and I mean especially because
maybe they're like, I hate that this place doesn't exist. I don't want to watch it anymore.
One of the things that I'm finding is, because boobies is a satire thing.
Hooters.
Yeah, well, I mean, and not just of Hooters, but of anime. Like they're fully aware of the boob obsession that Japan has, and the fact that it's in every anime ever. But lately, every single anime that's been coming out has been making satire of that, so now it's like,
we're still giving it to you, but we know that
it's yeah, right. But now we know
there's a right way to do it and there's a wrong way to do it. Like when I reviewed my mental choices are completely interfering with my school romantic comedy, which was a terrible, terrible show.
Really?
They tried to pass off the fan service as comedy.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But not in a good way. Like they didn't like make it. It was the punchline before the joke was even told.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, kind of like watching The Big Bang Theory, where it's not a joke about D&D. The joke is, the punchline is, oh, he said D&D.
Yes.
Like, yeah, so, okay.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong, I like Big Bang Theory, but I do. Right,
that's for another time then, because we're not talking about anybody liking anything called Big Bang Theory, so.
I'm more of an IT crowd type of guy, though, but. But I do like Space Dandy. I'm liking where it's going. My only concern is I've noticed, and this is more from my perspective, I noticed some of the dubbing is off. Especially with the... Because usually these days, dubbing has been great.
Yeah.
The mouth flaps always match. But I've noticed in some of the lines, especially when Space Dandy is giving a speech, his mouth isn't moving
in the right way. I've noticed it one or two times. I can look past that though, specifically because it's a foreign adaptation.
Yes, it is a foreign adaptation, but I'm thinking that because they had such a short amount of time to dub this, I believe that before this show gets released on DVD and Blu-ray, they might actually go back
and redub it
and redub some of the lines that didn't quite work.
Yeah, maybe. See, and the only reason why I don't think they'll do that is because of the money that will cost.
That is true.
And you know, as we all know, the anime industry is
they don't have it.
It's flourishing, but they don't want to pay their voice actors that much. You know, I mean, so it's tough. It's tough to say. It's definitely interesting watching an anime on TV, as we've been saying, and I'm...
Before it even airs in Japan.
Yeah, which is great. I mean...
We haven't had this happen since, like, Big O, Season 2.
Bakugan.
Bakugan as well. I forgot Bakugan.
Yeah, because Bakugan Season 1 came out in Japan first, but when Season 2 was premiered in America
also
first.
A conversation for another time, I think.
We're running out of
time here. I could go nuts on Bakugan, just so you know. That is my Pokemon.
Okay. Yeah, I can definitely see that. Alright, so final thoughts. Have we already said our final thoughts on Space Dandy?
Love it. We'll continue to watch it forever.
Yeah, I'm going to continue watching it.
Yeah, I'll even buy it on DVD when it comes out.
Yes, me too. I plan to buy it on DVD, or Blu-ray, however it's going to be released.
Blu-ray-DVD combo pack.
Alright, so guys, thank you again for joining me here on No Borders, No Race.
Thank you.
What do you got working on next for Wicked Anime?
Wicked Anime, well, right now we're working on our panels for Anime Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Showing up in really short time.
Yeah,
and so if any of you listeners go to Anime Boston, be sure to see us at the Hardcore Anime panel, and be sure to check out Evan, who will be joining us for the Who Cringed Last panel. Which
hopefully, if it gets passed.
If it gets passed.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. I usually don't like talking about this sort of thing, because then it gets jinxed and everything.
No way, it's okay. We talk up the Hardcore Anime panel, and it got through the first year, so I think we're good.
Okay.
With Wicked Anime, we, you know, we have... normal stuff coming on. Our next podcast will be coming out, or we'll be recording on the 26th, so we'll be set for sometime early February.
Yep.
New episodes, expect them out soon. We just released a new episode with Jeremy Lee, which was actually last year's Anime Boston, and our Vic Mignogna interview.
Yeah, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah. And you can probably expect a review of the first half of Kill a Kill for me soon. That's probably the next thing that I want to do.
And possibly from me, Outbreak Company. Because I really like Outbreak Company.
In fact, listeners, if you go onto egmnow.com/electricassistant, my review of Outbreak Company should be on the site right now.
There you go. So No Borders, No Race listeners, go find us on nerdyshow.com/wickedanime, facebook.com/wickedanime, and youtube.com/wickedanimereviews. You can also email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com.
Okay, awesome. Thank you guys again for coming on to No Borders,
No Race. Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Here in track from the band I called Best of Artists back at the end of 2012, they're called Shovels and Rope, and they're currently working on their next album from their last release, Oh Be Joyful. This one's called Ticket Ball.
But I know of you, and from what I know, well, I think I love you. Oh, 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 oh. You make me feel like I'm sitting right beside you. If we ever met, there's just no telling what I might do. Oh, 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 oh. Play my song all night long. I'd be a ticket.
Chicken bar. しない壁を自分で作ってたんだ。大事にしすぎると壊れてゆきそうで、かけがえないもの作るのが怖かった。僕たちはこの世界に長く生きすぎたのかな。ねえ答えはないよ、今日の景色は僕は息を止めた。与えもしないのに求めすぎてたんだろう。時に過ちが僕の心を試す。見上げた夜空、叶えたい未来を開く瞳に強く映し出す。昔の自分知ってたんだ。明日を浮かべながら寝静まった街のベランダから見る景色は同じなのに、生きるほどに見えなくなる素直な本当の気持ちが。綺麗なものばっか並べても
2008 album Proglution. They just released a brand new live DVD and single, so odds are work is progressing towards a brand new album. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bass Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, song requests, if you're in a band and want to be featured on the show, or if you have any questions for our good friend Sawa Sensei, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbassbrigade.com. I'm on Twitter at king_baby_duck. You can follow me on Tumblr, b3crew.tumblr.com. And You can like us on Facebook.com/Boston Bash Brigade. And do not forget about the other shows under the Land of Ash, including Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and the Issues Program. And thanks once again to our friends at Wicked Anime. Be sure to check out their show at nerdyshow.com/Wicked Anime. We are going to end things with Cornelius, who just recently released another collection of remixes called CM4. Here's his remix of the Beastie Boys' most awesome track from their album Hot Sauce Committee Part 2, Make Some Noise. Yeah. Until next time, this is King Get Baby up. Duck reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps.
Yes, here we go again, give you more, nothing lesser. Back on the mic is the antidepressor, add rock, no pressure. Yes, we need this, the best is yet to come in, yes, believe this. Let go my echo while I flex my EO. Sip on Prosecco, dressed up tuxedo, sip a coffee, playing Keno in the casino. Wanna look your number, ask Mike Dino.
I'm on a competition like a flamethrower. My rhyme aids like mine as I get older. I'm getting bold, the competition is waning. I got the bull in the suit, the lane in. Just whipping when I catch MCs. It's time for